They're not going to like me. We're going to start class here. Okay. Being fully devoted. 1 John 2:15 tells us and warns us about a situation. He's talking to Christians here. And the Holy Spirit knows that the Satan is out there trying to draw our heart away from God. So in 1 John 2:15, Lauren, what does that say?
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
And 16, excuse me.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, so how can some of these things draw our devotion? These things can draw our devotion, right? So how can the pride of life draw our attention and devotion away from serving God? How might it do that? How might pride, if we let pride take over our lives, how can that affect our devotion?
Well, we might think we accomplish this on our own without giving God any credit.
Okay, what about pursuits, you know, which goes into the things of the world, the pursuits of the things of the world. Also, the lust of the flesh, like some of those hard things that we have to decide, you know, this is God's word and I need to follow this instead of what I want or what I feel or, you know, what's going to make me feel good and, you know, what's going to make me happy and those kinds of things. And so it's that kind of thing. These things can draw our devotion away. And it is not just like that. It's not just automatic. It's sometimes gradually, you know, one little thing and then another little thing. Or we make a compromise one time in our life and then we find making a second compromise. And then all of a sudden, we're, instead of being wholly devoted to God, we're divided. Our attention is drawn away from the things that we should be doing in God's service and to His devotion. And even to worship service. And as we will look further in our study, Lord willing, as it affects our song service. And so a sincere heart, resolute to keep, to listen, not be drawn away. Matthew 6:24. We all know. Jesus is talking there, the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you cannot serve two masters. Of course, there he's talking about materialism, but you will love the one and hate the other. You will, be devoted to one, and you will despise the other. Now, that's strong language. You can't love, be devoted to two things. You're either devoted to God or you're not. You either love Him with all your heart or, Jesus said it, you hate Him. We don't want to think that way, do we? And so we don't want to despise the things of God. But if our heart becomes more devoted or devoted to things of this world, then God, that's what Jesus says. You cannot serve two masters. Who is our King? We sing that song. He is King. Well, we're going to look at that and see what that means, Lord willing, when we study lesson 4, the words we say. And so, unlike Jeremiah 3:10 and Jeremiah 24, you know, 5-7, it talks about God talks about Judah returning with a whole heart in the latter chapter. And in the first chapter, they were going away into captivity because they didn't serve Him with a whole heart. God wants His people to serve Him with a whole heart. When He chose the children of Israel to His children of Israel today, He wants a whole heart. And so, one that's devoted to Him. Distractions and worries. Let's talk about, let's not talk about just going off into disbelief, unbelief. Let's talk about distractions that come up sometime. that worries that come, especially when we're in assembly and we're singing, or we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, or we're praying. Things can crowd out what we're supposed to be thinking about. And it's easily done. Distractions and worries can pull our thoughts away, even when we are sincere in faith. You know, when I looked at this, I thought of a really good woman of faith. Her name was Martha. And in Luke 10, Jesus is in the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha is, she wants to be hospitable. She loves the Lord. We know she's a woman of faith because of her declarations, and especially when the Lord comes, when Lazarus has died, Lord, if you'd been here, he would not have died. She believed in who Jesus was. But she had this opportunity. And this is before Jesus goes to the cross. Probably, maybe the last time he's in their home. She had this opportunity to sit at his feet, to learn from him, and she's in the kitchen. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, taking the opportunity, putting her mind to listening to Jesus. And Jesus mildly rebukes Martha and says, "You're worried about many things. Mary has chosen the best part." You know, it's not that Martha wasn't devoted as a disciple of Christ. She was. But the distractions at that moment kept her from doing the better thing. She had this opportunity to listen to Jesus. When we sing, when we pray, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, is it an opportunity to praise, to think, to reflect, to talk to God, to listen to God, to commune with God? Where is our mind? Just a thought, you know, to help us. Any thoughts along that line? You know, just a warning from someone who's been around a while, and others of you know too. It's an all too easy thing to go from a sometime Martha to a once in a while pew sitter or a hypocrite. It's not very hard to go from here to here if we're not careful. Let's turn in our psalm books to number 589. We're talking about being devoted to God with all our heart and soul and mind. And this song, 589, is just one of the songs that we could look at that when we sing this, Lord willing, we're telling the truth. We're not fooling ourselves, and we're definitely not going to fool God. In our devotion to His Word and the worship, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. At the end of lesson 3, we're going to study a segment called God Warns. And in it, we will look at words and God's opinion of people who vow things or say things to him, especially that have no intention of keeping them. And, you know, not that we don't all need God's grace because we fail. and sometimes in the things that we say, or the things that we want to do, but yet the flesh is weak and we fail to do. As Keith so well said in one of his Wednesday night lessons about plant. No, it wasn't Keith. Excuse me. It was Josh. Josh and Keith has done that too. But Josh talked about when you plan things, carrying through with those things. You alone, my heart's desire. Okay, I want you more than gold or silver. There's the things of the world. There's materialism. There's what some of the things that draw our minds away. Guys, you know, have work. You know, and they're it's stressful on them. It's on their minds, especially, you know. But moms have things that they have to take care of, things that are going on in their lives, you know. But you are more than gold and silver. You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. When we sing these songs, our heart and our minds need to be attuned to what we're saying to God, what we're praising Him for, and what we're vowing to Him. So, you know, just an example of fully devoted, especially when we're engaged in worship, where our hearts and our minds to be engaged and not divided and pulled away. Not talking about mamas that's got to go take care of babies. I'm not talking about people that have pain, that it's so hard to concentrate when you're under extreme pain. Those kinds of things. God of the universe is the one that looks at the hearts. I'm talking about, you know, me sitting there on the pew just, you know, thinking about something else instead of what I ought to be doing. So, any questions or comments on that segment? Okay, Colossians 3, 15 and 16. We all know this. Nadine, would you read Colossians 3, 15 and 16, please?
Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also. Hmm.
Three, 15, 16. That's fine.
That the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
Okay. Peace ruling in my heart. What's that talking about? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What's he saying? What should drive us? The knowledge that I have peace with God should rule my thoughts and my emotions to keep me from being overwrought with life's cares. Pull us away. And it should cause me to act in such a way as to show thankfulness in my heart for that gift of grace. Peace ruling, the peace of Christ, the peace that the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, brings to my heart. Let it rule. If we have that ruling in our heart, in the forefront of our mind, how much easier, even when we're together as a group, encouraging one another and singing together. So, with thankfulness, as we admonish one another, as we encourage one another, as we sing to God and to each other. So, a heart that the Word of Christ richly dwells brings me to a point that Lord willing will also cover, and that we've covered a little bit in the past lessons, that what we do here as God's people, and what we practice, and what we sing to one another, should be according to God's Word. It should be according to truth. God said, "You will worship me in spirit and in truth." So, if we have God's Word richly dwelling in us, it's not direct operation of the Holy Ghost, okay? It demands study. It demands prayer for understanding. It demands discernment. It demands faith. And so, if I have these things, if I practice these things, and as I get more and as I allow the Word of Christ to dwell more richly within me, it's going to make me, in my view, better equipped to be more devoted in my heart. And then as I come to worship with others, be better equipped to do what this says, to teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Giving thanks. Me, you, all of us, giving thanks in our heart for that. Any thoughts that you all had on Colossians 3, 15 and 16 that I didn't cover? We've studied this a lot, but I wanted to bring this in as we're talking about our song service. All right. Let's turn our song books to 2:2-3. Is just a simple song, but what a message, what an encouragement to my heart that should make me grateful and thankful and ready to praise God. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. My thronging duties pressed, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus. This is rest. Peace, perfect peace. With sorrows surging round, O Jesus, bosom naught, but calm is found. Such comfort. We sing this. And when we do, we should sing with thankfulness in our heart, with gratitude. And as we live every day, let's understand what this is saying as we go about our daily lives, and as the trials of this life come upon us. Peace. We know Philippians 4, not to be anxious, have that peace. Peace because we're in Jesus. Peace that it gives us. One more song before we head to another one. We're talking about thankfulness in our heart. Let's turn to a very familiar song. I mean, my kids grew up singing it as they were swinging on the swings outside. Okay? 19, Heavenly Sunlight. It's just one of those songs that has that can get so lift your soul and lift your spirits, and as we sing it, you know, together, or when we think about it in our homes, or on the road, walking in sunlight, all of my journey over the mountains and through the deep vale. We've had highs and we've had lows, every one of us. But there's sunshine in my soul, okay? Jesus has said, and this is the sunshine right here, I'll never forsake you. Promise divine that never can fail. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. Keep our own Jesus, no matter what the devil throws at us, Jesus is still there. Let's keep our eye on Jesus. He is the light. He is the light shining in darkness. In Him there is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Okay? There's a statement of acclamation. Ever I'm walking by His side. We're not going to have that if we're not walking with Jesus. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. There's that hope. Through those dark vales and valleys, singing His praises. Gladly I'm walking. Walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. And then the chorus. And it's flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Here's why. Jesus is mine. So, the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, singing with the understanding and with thankfulness, and being able to admonish one another, what a blessing it is. Okay, Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. Is that the one I put together? No, okay. And 12, 28. Elizabeth, would you read Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13, and 12, 28?
Deuteronomy 10, 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways. Love Him and to serve Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good.
Okay, in 12:28.
Be careful to listen to all these things which I command you, so that it may be well with your soul and your sons after you forever. For you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God.
A little bit of a repeat, you know, of some of the thoughts. In Deuteronomy 10, it says that I fear, revere, or be in awe of Him, love, be devoted to. We've talked about what that means. So as to walk. That means to continue living. Walk alongside of. It's like Jesus holding your hand. You know, walking behind the Master, but alongside of what He demands of me. What He wants me to be. In His ways. And to serve, worship, be in bondage to Him. That's what Deuteronomy 10 is talking about. Deuteronomy 12 is talking about attitude. It talks about the will that wants to listen, the will that wants to learn, so that we can revere, and so that we can love, and so that we can walk. That's an attitude of heart that God wants for His people. That is going to be necessary to have a heart that's fully devoted to Him. John 4, 23 and 24. Susan, would you read that, please?
When an hour is coming, and now is, for the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth.
Can't get much plainer than that. This is the kind of worshiper God wants. He wants us to be a true worshiper. There's all kinds of worshipers out there. We want to be God's true worshiper. We want and must worship Him in spirit, with my mind and with my heart, with my emotions, with my mind, with my understanding, and in spirit, according to His word. True worshipers worship God the way He says to. True worshipers do those acts of worship that is going to be pleasing to God, that's going to give glory to God, and that is going to not condemn our hearts. Any thoughts on those verses? Colossians 3:17 finishes that thought. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Back to that Thanksgiving again at the end there. But whatever we do, the things we do, the things we say, our life, how we live, our worship should be according to His authority. With one purpose. What's that purpose? What's the purpose in the verse? What did you say, Margaret?
I was saying to give God the glory.
Give God the glory. Okay. Bring glory to God and to Christ, not to ourselves, not to some institution, not to some production. You know, within some churches, I think the glory is given to who's up on the stage at the moment, you know, instead of praising God. And so we need to be careful, even in our own hearts, that we don't fail in this. It's for God's glory, not ours. It's for telling others and showing others and praising God. Do all under His authority and to His glory. That's for my good, and that's for your good. Okay, we'll finish with Hebrews 12:28. Amy, can you read, dear? 12:28. And I said, if it helps you define the words that are in this passage. So let's see, you know, what y'all's thoughts are on Hebrews 12:28. Amy?
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Okay. We've talked about this. What did y'all put down? What's Hebrews 12:28?
Where is it?
12:28.
Yeah, it's D.
It's,
you have to skip C.
No, I have C. I'm sorry. Did we?
That's okay.
Oh.
Okay, Hebrews 12:28. What do y'all skip?
Well, it's, you skipped over C.
Yeah.
What? C is Philippians 2, 3 through 4, and 14 through 15.
Okay, I'm sorry. I took it out, and I redid. Okay, so we're going to cover that in another lesson, okay? I am so sorry. You know how you get on your computer and you do all that kind of stuff and you forget to write a note? Because I've got a note here at the end of class on number 2 that I want you to change, okay? You know how you write lessons. We've all been there, and you go through it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know.
I'm sorry, Linda. I just had not pulled my notebook up. I was on number 3, and the door wasn't showing up. So
yeah, okay. Let's do Hebrews 12. Okay, so what did you all put down?
Reverence and awe.
Reverence and awe. Very good.
My Bible says godly fear.
Godly fear. Okay. What else? Reverence and awe and?
Gratitude.
Okay. Let us show gratitude. Does God need me saying? Okay. Verse 28. Let us show gratitude or grace. Is that what y'all said? Mine says have gratitude or show gratitude. Okay.
Mine doesn't say that.
Okay, what is it? Okay.
Mine says let us have grace.
Have grace?
Okay, good.
Okay, very good. So, full of cheer or happiness that wants us to show that we're thankful for His abiding mercy and grace by offering to God an acceptable service. I thought of Luke 17. And, you know, Steve brought it up in his lesson. Luke 17, this is, and the one I'm using is the story of the 10 lepers. We all know that. Jesus heals the 10 lepers. 9 go on to show themselves to the priest. They did not return back to thank Jesus. 1 leper come back, and he praised God. He fell down and worshiped Him. And so Jesus mentions this. He brings attention to it. He brings attention to the neglect of the 9 who didn't come back. Where are they? Weren't they healed? Does Jesus need our little pitiful thank you, Lord? No. He is who He is. He's in heaven with hosts praising Him. But who got the most out of coming back and saying thank you, Jesus, with a grateful heart? I think the leper did, the 1 leper. And he gave glory to God. That's what Jesus said He did. When we say thank you with a grateful heart, we're giving glory to God by thanking Him. So, and reverence and awe, as others said, with a heart tempered, brought to the proper state. Our heart is brought to the state of being fearful and respectful, and yes, even dread at some times because of His majesty, because of who He is, because He's what He's done for me, for His grace and His mercy. So, in Hebrews there, it says, let us. It's in a whole section there of the let us. I love that study where we went through and marked all that. Let us, let us, let us. Let us show gratitude. And number 29, talking about that dread, God is a consuming fire. It's important. Okay, to finish, we'll look quickly at number 35 in your psalm book. And then we'll have our closing prayer by Amanda. Number 35 is, O Worship the King. We sing this all the time. We're glorifying Him, and we're declaring who He is, and we're declaring just how frail we are. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. Why wouldn't we want to give a heart that's totally devoted and do our best to serve this majestic one? Okay.